It's Christina Herrick, produce editor with The Packer, here again with another Tip of the Iceberg podcast. In this episode, I talk with Paul Mikesell, founder and CEO of Carbon Robotics, and he shares with me how his company develops AI-powered robotic systems for the ag industry and how this technology can benefit specialty crop growers.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Paul. I think this is going to be a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and I'm excited to be here to talk about Carbon Robotics.
Well, let's kick it off. Give our listeners / readers a quick snapshot of the company.
Yeah, Carbon Robotics. So we build a laser weeder. Laser weeder kills weeds in farmer fields. No herbicides, no manual labor out there picking and pulling weeds. We save growers a lot of money on their weed control programs. And then we've also demonstrated through multiple years now of laser weeder in production that we increase yields and we increased harvest quality and quantity quite a bit, double digit percentages. And so growers are seeing a lot of benefit from laser weeder, and it pays back, you know, year after year. We are selling laser weeder directly to growers. And so it's a machine that a farmer owns, and they get to see all the benefit and value of every year. And so it's a capital asset that pays for itself in between 1 to 3 years, depending on your farm and farm size. And we're selling all throughout the United States. And now we have a lot of units going to Australia and Europe as well. Places like Netherlands, France, Germany, Spain, Denmark, you know, et cetera. And so we're moving really fast, building machines as quickly as we can. And farmers seem to really like it.
So talk to me a little bit about how you started the actual company and a little bit about, you know, how Laser Weeder was developed. I mean, I know because I'm in the ag industry, I kind of understand some of the challenges, but I'd love to hear, you know, how you came up with this out of the first place, I guess you could say.
You bet. Yeah, I've been in tech my whole career. I started programming computers when I was 8 years old. And so I've been in the sort of steeped in the Silicon Valley culture of startups. And, you know, honestly, I just kind of got tired of it and wanted to work on something more real. And maybe some of your viewers can relate to that, about wanting to get out and do some work that was, physical, right? Physical machines doing things to help make, in this case, food healthy food easier to grow and more consistent. So, and I wanted to get some of that Silicon Valley VC money and redirect it towards something more important than, you know, iPhone apps or what have you. So, okay, great. So let's focus on bringing technology advancements to the farm. Okay. So then the question was, well, doing what? And we spent a lot of time talking to growers, figuring out what their needs were, what biggest issues were. And my background is I'm an expert in computer vision systems and what's called deep learning, which is a subset of AI, to allow computers to identify things that they see in the camera. So I knew that we could get weed identification and crop identification. I knew that was possible. I knew how to build it technologically. And then the rest of it was, okay, so for laser weeder, what is the action? How do you kill weeds? Lasers was just a discovery that I made trying a bunch of things. I still have the original video on my phone of putting a laser in my little backyard where we were growing some onions back there and laser weeding and very slowly with a little, you know, much smaller laser, but seeing that the technology would work. And so after that, you know, it was time to start growing the company and start building. And that was that first experiment was in 2018. And then, you know, it was build and iterate. And we had our first production machines ready to go in 2022. And we've been selling and delivering ever since then. So a lot of this was getting with the growers, basically living on their farms, you know, out of trailers and whatnot, to really get deep in understanding what's happening. And it is quite a change, you know, from typical technology startup culture. And I think it's been a healthy change for myself and all the other folks on the team as well. So we're pretty proud of what we've accomplished. And, you know, the best thing for me is the growers coming back and telling us these hugely beneficial stories, like the yield increases that they got and better harvest amounts and things like that. Those are the kind of the best, my favorite stories, and make me feel like we're really doing something.
You weren't kidding when you said rapid expansion, you know, from 2022 to now. That's right. Impressive.
Yeah, thanks.
So tell me about the growers that you're working with, because again, you know, me have being a little bit more privy to agriculture, and obviously our listeners will as well. Yeah. You know, as you have learned, when you're talking about farming and you're talking about crops, there's all different kinds of plants, all different kinds of leaf shapes, growing structures, and then, you know, on top of that, weeds. So, you know, what kind of growers are you working with? And just, you know, maybe share a little bit about that parts of it and some of the challenges that you learned along the way. Like I said, you know, I'm sure you learned that a potato or a melon would look a little different than strawberry or, you know, leaf lettuce. So there's a lot of challenges to having a machine learn at what's good and bad. So
yeah.
Talk to me about the growers, and then talk to me about some of what you've learned along that development process.
Yeah. So one of our taglines about the machine, at least, is that if we can see it, we can shoot it. And that's very true. So as long as we're in a crop that we can drive the machines over, and we got about 3 feet off the ground from the wheelbase, then the cameras can see what's going on. And the way we developed the system to be able to target these lasers is so precise that we literally have millimeter level accuracy. So we can get right up against the crops and burn these weeds out. So we're in basically every kind of, many acre planted crop. We are primary vegetables to date. So I'm talking about onions, carrots, leafy greens, you know, lettuces and spinaches, as well as all kinds of other stuff like broccoli, cauliflower, radishes, chards, you know, radicchio, like all of that stuff. And that's been kind of where we started. A lot of stuff on the West Coast, originally. Now, moving all the way across the United States and into Europe, as we mentioned, the growers are typically, you know, some of the larger farms that produce your food that you get from the grocery store. I think typical farm size for us is between 1,000 to 4,000 acres, although we do have some partners who are, you know, in the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. I call them partners instead of customers, you know, because I really do feel like we have sort of co-developed this whole thing with these growers. But and some of these folks have very, you know, pretty large fleets of laser weeders at this point. And so what we've learned through this process is, first of all, farmers are extremely intelligent and creative. They have a good understanding of their numbers. And if you present them an ROI and walk through the use case and business case with them, they'll figure it out. And that you have to have great service and support in agriculture, because stuff out in the field happens all the time, and the job has to get done. So we have a great service and support organization. People rave about our service and support organization. They say that we're best in the business, et cetera. And that's become an important part of our success as well. So folks know that if anything ever happens, you know, we're there. And we're always there. And so, you know, those things, right, really getting into the farm, understanding what's happening on a farm, partnering with the growers and having a great support organization, I think it's part of the reason why we've been successful at this. I kind of hinted at something earlier when I talked about us selling the machines. There's been a lot of folks who've tried to do a service model for this kind of thing. And it hasn't worked. You know, I don't really know of any companies that have been able to make that model work very well. I think part of the reason is that so much happens on the farm that you need to really empower the growers to make the decision about what they're going to do with the machine and where. And if you're doing this service thing, then there's an extra step involved, you know, in coordination and organization. The other thing about the service model that I don't really like generally as a philosophy is that, you know, implied in the service model is that the company providing the service is getting all that marginal benefit. And I would much rather build a machine, sell it to the grower, and then have them get the marginal benefit of the use of that machine over time. And so I think that makes a lot more sense. I think that might be why, you know, we have so many sales, why people are so happy with the machine, because they know they own it, they can capitalize it, they can get all the benefit of it throughout the entire life of the machine, as opposed to some service company that's basically reaping those rewards, you know. So I think something that we don't talk about a lot, but I'm talking about with you, is just the business model, I think, in agriculture does not map onto what even some of the VCs want to see, where they love this service model stuff, because they're used to, you know, software as a service or things of that nature. So I do think in agriculture, selling machines directly to growers is the way to go. I mean, it's certainly been our experience.
Yeah. And tell me a little bit about how the machine works. Is it, I'm assuming, does it run on a schedule? Is it kind of like a program and forget it? I mean, obviously you don't forget it. It's there, it's doing its job. But, you know, tell me a little bit about like how it goes. Cause it sounds like you can, growers can set their schedule. They can kind of choose how they want to use the machine, or maybe just share maybe some best practices of how growers use it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the machine it plugs into a tractor. It gets all of its power from the tractor. What happens is, they schedule their tractor operator to go into fields depending on when the weeds are coming up. And that allows them to target the machines to field where it's most needed and at the times when it's most needed. And so we, because of that, you know, we work with them to help growers understand the differences between laser weeder and something you might do more traditionally for weed control. The important thing for laser weeder is to get in there early. Earlier is better. In fact, earlier, before you might even think there are weeds, is usually, in a lot of cases, the best time to get in. If you, in the kind of scenario where you actually get down on your hands and knees and you look at the ground, you can see there are weeds coming up, and there's a lot of them. But if you stand up and look out over the field, you probably won't even see them. But getting laser weeder in there early is better. Earlier is better. We've had a lot of experiences with this where we, you know, especially some of these weeds like purslanes, when they come up, they are camouflaged against the soil. And so you can't actually see them unless you really look, and you'll see there's like thousands of them there. But you have to really change your mentality about how early you go in for weed control. Laser weeder, get in there early. We kill them really fast. We can see things that humans can't even see. You know, laser weeder does a better job detecting than a person. And so, you know, getting in there early. What happens is, what's really happening is we have 30 lasers in the machine, and the computer is seeing everything that's happening. And so it's finding weeds, scheduling a targeting schedule. That's a way to think about it, about which weeds it's going to hit in what order. And it's aiming all the lasers. And in parallel, these 30 lasers are destroying these weeds. And it's doing it through a laser beam that's producing the thermal energy that's burning out the meristem of the plant, and the thing that dies. So that whole thing is it's new technology. It's things people haven't seen before. It's the first, you know, brand new weed control system in probably 100 years. And it's been really great.
Well, it makes sense to me that you would have, I understand it is kind of probably a change in approach to weed control, you know, any grower that would think about it would realize you're just trying to get those weeds at as small of a root structure as possible and as small of a plant as possible. So you're just trying to get it, dare I say it, its weakest stage, but you're trying to get it before it gets really strong and established. So it makes sense to me. It is interesting that is kind of a shift in approach, but you know, it doesn't, when you kind of think about it from a plant standpoint, in my mind, it makes a lot more sense to kind of look at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Get in there before the weeds establish a root system, before they steal nutrients.
Yep.
Certainly before they seed, but you pull a weed, go out and look at, if you have hand crews, go out and look at your hand crews and see what's happening to the crops as they're pulling these weeds out. In many cases, the weed's root system is intertwined with the crop itself and has damaged, deformed, stunted the growth of the thing you're trying to bring to market. And so get in there before that stuff happens, before the weeds really are able to even establish themselves. That's just always better. And then, not disturbing the topsoil sort of shows all these benefits down the road. And because the only thing we're doing to the soil is applying a laser beam right at the meristem of the plant, everything is just healthier from that.
One thing that I thought was interesting as you were talking about, and I think you talked a little bit about this, is obviously, just working with farmers. So, are there some things that you've particularly learned along the way in terms of developing this and being outside, and obviously now you're in different soil types, different, growing conditions. What are some things that you've kind of learned as this laser weeder has expanded out beyond just California itself?
Yeah, I mean, these crops are, throughout the use of herbicides over the last, 50 or so years. I mean, in a lot of ways, we've kind of gotten used to we've gotten used to the effects of herbicides on these vegetables. And so this is really the first time that people have seen what happens when you grow these crops with no herbicides on top of them. And they are much healthier and more consistent. And that was something that we didn't know. And I don't think we could have known, because there hasn't been a technique before to, get crops all the way through their growing cycle with weed control, where you're not spraying herbicides. And again, you're not disturbing that topsoil with any kind of tools or anything. And so what we're learning now is that in general, the damage to the crops that's been happening from the traditional techniques of, using a blade or a tool and or herbicides, that we were really stunting the growth of these things in ways that I don't think anybody understood. And so we're all kind of learning that together, us and the growers. That, to me, I guess, top of mind has been the newest big thing we've discovered in the last, 4 or 5 months, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess if it's like you said, if it's being pulled by a tractor, I think there's probably less trouble getting navigating through different types of soil structures and things
Sure.
like that. If there's loamy soil, sandy soil, if it's got the power of a tractor, it's probably going to be able to get through no matter what. That's kind of what I was thinking. It's just like, are there challenges to getting the laser weeder to even just navigate through some of these farms if there's any kind of soil interruptions, but
I think biggest issue is in some of the more loose soils, particularly the muck soil, right? Where it was, in a lot of cases, an old peat bog, essentially. That's what a lot of the muck is in the United States and up in Canada. That soil is so soft, that you really have to get your compaction rate down. You've got to get your PSI of how much pressure you're putting onto the ground. You need to get that to be low enough that you won't sink, And so we've this year, in fact, released a new product that is a derivative of the original laser weeder, that is the tracked unit. So it has tracks on it, primarily targeted for these muck environments. The track laser weeder, instead of wheels, you have these two tracks on it. And yeah, we sold quite a few of those since we announced it. We just sort of started talking about it at the egg show last week. At the World Egg Expo. So it was the first time we ever were even publicly talking about it. And that has had an incredible uptake. And so based on the soil type, we have a wheeled unit or a tracked unit now. And that has enabled a whole bunch of new use cases. Everything else about soil types and weed types basically is handled by the vision system. So, almost every case for us getting in there is just a matter of the computer seeing what it needs to see and targeting the lasers. But specifically for this muck soil, we do have this track unit now that's been selling quite well.
That's great. And maybe this is, you kind of set me up for a great conversation about data. So one thing that's really interesting, I think, with a lot of ag tech and just a lot of technology in general is just some of the data that's being gathered by these devices. And a lot of times, farmers and anyone else using the tech may not necessarily know what to do with the data. So can you talk to me a little bit about some of the data that the laser weeder is collecting and how it can help the grower and help inform the grower, and just kind of talk to me about how that data is put to use.
So the other thing that we're launching is this what we call Carbon Operations Center, the Carbon Ops Center. And that allows you as an owner of a machine to log in, and you can see the weed density pressure in a heat map, broken down by weed types. You can literally look at your field and you can see which types of weeds were where at what time. And this is useful and informative and actionable because in a lot of cases you can see where the weeds are actually coming from. And you can tell, oh, this is coming in from this canal or this irrigation ditch over here, or it's blowing across from this field on the other side. That happens a lot more frequently than we thought. So those weed density heat maps have been very informative. What I mean by a heat map is basically you look at a geo map of your field, right? Like you would see on Google Maps or something. And then there's colors on top of that that shows the density, and you can break it down by weed type. And then we also have crop stand counts. So you can see how many of your crops we saw, how big they are, where they are in the same type of heat map. And so this information allows growers to understand how well the crops are doing in different fields and make predictions about when they think it's going to be harvestable, potentially what they should set for their harvest time and their potentially the market price that comes out of that. So this data is some of the stuff that people have been asking for quite a while, as well as information about, when something happens and changes your stand in a negative way, what happened? What was that event, or at least when did it happen? So you can we go start chasing it down. So the Carbon Ops Center is something that people have been asking for a while that we're launching this year, and people are using it right now. Carbon Operations Center. So that's been great. We are going to continue to add more data into that system over time so that we can really be kind of the one main place to go and figure out what's happening on your farm. At least, aspirationally, that's what we want to get to.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like just valuable information even for predicting for next year. If you know this particular area might be prone for a certain type of weed, as you mentioned, they might be able to find the data that then helps them diagnose where that seed might be coming from or whatever the case might be. But it still might be really useful in predicting, okay, this area is really prone for this particular weed. This is something we should probably think about even earlier than when we were thinking about it. We should be getting ahead of it and prepping, and as you said, the benefit to laser weeder is trying to get that weed as in as early of a growth stage as possible to in its weakest stage to treat. So that's really fascinating. And I do think, like you said, data is an important part of any ag tech that's coming out. It's got to be useful data and it's got to be actionable data.
Yeah, that's right. There's been a lot of companies, who've made these data platforms, and when you talk to growers, a lot of them are like, "Well, what am I supposed to do with this data?" Right? And I think it's been a real problem for for the industry that a lot of companies, I think, did not really take into account what the farmers wanted and just focused on blasting a bunch of data analytics at folks. And if you don't know what If you can't make predictions out of it, or you can't take action from the predictions, and you're not, what's it for, And so I think, I'm pretty proud of the way we did this, where we developed it in concert with the growers about what they wanted and what information we had that could be useful to them. I'm glad we have machines in the field taking pictures that we can use to put into the system to show growers these insights. Instead of just having some data platform that, you can cram whatever you want into, but then what do you do with it?
Yeah, well, and I think, you said machine learning, and I think that's, there's a lot of terms that are used in the tech industry that I don't necessarily think, although I think it is changing. I will say it is changing, but that To when you said machine learning, to me, basically what you're saying is every time that laser reader is out in the field, it's improving the overall experience of the laser reader, which is what's interesting about, machine learning. And
Yeah,
so,
that's
yeah, you got all these data points that you're collecting, and then the laser reader is then helping the farmer then make better decisions through that data.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it is true that the laser weeder continually gets better and better, both in the fields that we're in and also through the ops center based on, because we're continually taking new pictures, training the AI systems to get better and better over time.
Yeah. So, this kind of sets me up for the next question is kind of looking ahead. And this can be a little bit about laser reader, but you've got a unique perspective in that, obviously you're developing a piece of equipment that's impacting the ag industry, but you're also kind of at a seat at the table for seeing how robotics and tech is playing a bigger role in the ag industry. So, looking ahead, I know this is almost an impossible question because we're pr trying to predict the future and there's a lot of variables that you can't factor in. But what do you think is going to happen in the future? Like, where do you think robotics are going to be? Are they going to replace workers altogether? Like, where are robotics in the future of farming?
Oh yeah, I mean things will continue to become more and more automated. When you talk about replacing people, that's kind of a the way I see it, it's more supplying the kinds of work capabilities that folks are having a really hard time finding people for. So I don't like to think about us as supplanting people so much as allowing farmers to get the work done where they can't even find the labor. I mean, that's been the real issue. Over time, yes, more and more automation. Why more and more automation? Because it leads to consistency. If you do things right, it leads to quality. It certainly goes positively to the farmer's bottom line. And it allows us to get in this mode where we can continue to grow food for ourselves without having to fight, all the immigration battles that are happening, depending in sort of independent of which administration is in power, we still have all of these problems about immigration. So, and this is not, and so now what I've learned recently is it's not just the United States, it's also Western Europe, of course, is having these same, very same issues. They're having even a harder time over there because they have a lot less access to herbicides. So the kinds of tools that they can use over there, the kinds of chemical tools that they can use over there is a lot different and a lot less effective. And so, as things continue to progress, and we're seeing this now in the United States where the herbicides are becoming less effective because the weeds are getting resistant, we're gonna have to use machines like laser weeder to solve these problems in a way that doesn't have these kinds of downstream, effects, right? I'm not just talking about herbicide runoff, but I'm talking about things like herbicide resistance, right? And crop damage. So things are going to continue in this manner, and more automation. I mean, that's clearly where all the growers want to go. We have projects heading down the road that are similar, that are in that vein, and so look for more stuff from us coming out, in the next little while.
So you bring up an extremely important point in the conversation of weeds, and that's resistance. It is a problem. It's a problem because one, growers have a limited amount of tools, that they herbicides that they can use, and so they use them and they use them often to get weeds, and then those weeds eventually will become resistant. It's just what happens, which then breeds another problem. They get bigger and it's harder to control. So yeah. Herbicide resistance is obviously a huge issue that, obviously lasers kind of takes that out of the equation. And you're right. I know I kind of set you up for that take my jobs conversation, and I didn't mean to do it in that way. But
Yeah,
I
it's okay.
came from I recently wrote for the green industry, so landscaping. And that was a big thing with robotic mowers, is everyone was, crews would say these mowers are taking away our jobs, and people would say no. The landscaping company owners would say no, we're not taking away jobs. We don't have enough people to do the work that we need to
Sure,
do.
sure.
And so these mowers are going to mow while you're doing something else, and we're able to have more crews. with, hiring less people because we just can't hire them. And obviously labor is an issue in the ag industry. It's a huge issue. So yeah, I didn't mean to send you down that path, but you answered it
We are, yeah, and
in a thoughtful way.
we are working on laser weeder training programs, so your drivers can get certified in laser weeder, and we do want to help enable the workforce to participate in the in this new technological evolution of what's happening on the farms, and we're very focused on that.
Yeah, and crews, while you might have someone running the laser weeder, there's obviously an endless amount of jobs, especially for a farm that has multiple crops. There might be something else that needs to be done
Oh
at
yeah,
that time. So those crews that
constantly.
would have been handpicking weeds can now be doing something else. So yeah.
For sure.
Well, what else should our listeners and readers know about the technology that you're developing? I think you've done a great job so far.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we've pretty much, covered it. CarbonRobotics.com. We have YouTube. We have Twitter or X and Instagram. We probably have a TikTok. And we like to put a lot of videos out to kind of show not just the laser weeders working, but also the grower excitement and what's happening over time. So, if you're interested in laser weeder, you just want to learn about laser weeder, please look us up on the internet. We try to be active in our social media stuff. And we will continue to be at other farm shows. And always feel free to just reach out to us through our website. We have, a contact form, and you can email us at sales@carbonrobotics.com or info@carbonrobotics.com. And if you have some curiosity or some interest, please come see us in the field at some point too.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm glad you shared ways for our listeners to get in contact with you. I do think that especially with any kind of technology, based equipment, the best thing people can do is see it in person and see it, running visually. So video always helps. So that's great. Since this is going to be audio, it's kind of hard to for people to get a snapshot of exactly what's going on. So that was great. Well, that's all the questions I had. So, I thank you for joining me.
You bet. Thanks for the time today. It was nice to, I think we spoke before, so it's nice to see you again, and we'll probably
Yeah.
see you in the future.
Yeah, you definitely will.
I just want to say a huge thank you to Paul Mikesell, founder and CEO of Carbon Robotics, for joining me on the podcast. I also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. Don't forget, if you like what you hear, you can catch new episodes of Tip of the Iceberg on your favorite podcast platform like Google Play, Spotify, Apple, and more. And that's a wrap for this edition of Tip of the Iceberg, brought to you by The Packer, Produce Market Guide, and Farm Journal. Join us again soon for more industry insights. Bye!